36. Are you washed in the blood?
I hope you are. 136. All four stanzas.
Created most of all, God, as we gather this morning. We thank you for the Word of God that reminds us that if any of us are in Christ, we are new creatures or creations. Old things have passed away, all things become new. We thank you for how you that are still in the life-changing business, you change hearts, you change lives. We thank you so much, and we pray that that's exactly what you would do this morning. God, we ask that you'd manifest your presence. We thank you for the wonderful time in Sunday school we've had. We thank you, God, for what we've already heard from your word. And we pray that as we come to the Lord's table this morning, that, God, we would be moved to be more passionate about who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can off the screen here. Let's everybody stand. I want you to just, you don't have to move around a whole lot, but just speak to somebody you've not spoken to. Maybe in your circle there, maybe you've not said good morning to them yet. Even if it's a new song to you, it just reminds us, I think, about God's love and how that, God's grace covers us. And I know a lot of you may know this song, so let's sing it and worship together.
God, I seek you. I want to move when you move. You're more than I could long for. I burn for you. You're in the ocean to my soul. To my soul.
This is a blessed day in the life of our church. In fact, a lot of you know this, and I just want to remind you of this. There are two ordinances that sets a New Testament church apart. These we call them ordinances because we believe that there are two things specifically that our Lord instructed us to do. And this is what sets us apart as a New Testament church. One of them is what we're doing this morning and coming to the Lord's table. And we're going to talk briefly about that. And then the second thing is baptism. We know the Bible has told us, Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them everything. Jesus said, everything that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the great thing about that is we're going to do both of those things this morning. And that's a blessing, I think. That is a blessing to be able to do. Baptism celebrates our entering the family of God, just like coming to the Lord's table celebrates Christ's sacrifice and our continual walk with Him. I want you to open your Bibles, and you know me, and you know me well enough, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I will be brief talking about this, because as we uncover the Lord's table, it's a sermon in itself. Doesn't a lot need to be added to what we're going to do this morning, but I do just want to make a few comments and just remind us as a congregation what this means, how important it is, and what we ought to be thinking about as we do this morning. The Lord's table is meant to be a blessing, but to the church at Corinth, it was a bother. It was a burden. In fact, they were having a lot of problems. As David Jeremiah said in his words, if it could be messed up, the church at Corinth could mess it up. And they certainly were even messing up the Lord's table. It's a time to call us together. The Lord's table unites us. You know, there should be no division in the local church. Any person that's an instrument to try to divide the church, to try to divide people against one another, that's not of God. So one of the instruments God has used to remind us of how we ought to be together, we don't have to always agree, but there's the thing that keeps us together is always more important than what should drive us apart. And what we're looking at this morning and what this table represents is what we all have in common for those of us that will be participating. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that thing we have in common should be greater than anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil should try to do to drive us apart. It's called us to unity. But in this church, it had become an instrument of division. I want to mention just a couple of things this morning, just as a reminder of some things we need to know about the seriousness of what we're doing this morning. Just so you understand what the Word of God says, when you look at the Lord's table, there's three things that we're going to do this morning. And one of those things is this is going to be a time of recollection. In other words, a time of remembrance. If you'll notice there in the text, and I know you found it there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're not going to stand this morning, but I just want to just remind you of this, what Paul said. He said, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Now that word remembrance, it's what it says. The covering of the table has covered the words up, but in front of any communion table it says, "This do in remembrance of Me." Most communion tables have that. Because as we gather together this morning, we are gathered to remember our Lord's death. In fact, that word recollection means that we are to actually relive the event in our hearts and in our minds. So what I'm asking you today to do this morning is, as we uncover this table and we think about the elements that are used in communion, we need to visualize the fact that our Lord died in our place. That He died for you and for me. That He was our substitute. When we eat the bread, we think of Christ's body that was whipped, His crown of thorns that was placed on His head, the beard that was pulled out of His face, His hands as well as His feet that received those nails, His side that was thrust through with a spear, and his bones that were not broken but were out of joint as he was nailed to that cross and lifted up and dropped into that hole. The Bible says every bone was out of joint. And we're to visualize that in our heart to remember the reason we have any hope whatsoever is because of Christ's sacrifice for us. We'd be without hope, folks. And I know you know that, but sometimes we live like we forget that. We need to visualize and remind ourselves that while we weren't there on that hill, in a sense we were there. Because you and I were on His mind. You'd never been born, but you were there on His mind. So we remember our Lord's death. We visualize it in our minds. In fact, the cup, the bread reminds us of His body that was broken for us in submission. And the cup reminds us of His blood that can cleanse any sin and every sin. In fact, I was thinking about this. You know, our Lord's first miracle, He turned the water into wine, didn't He, in Cana of Galilee. But as He was sitting with His disciples in that upper room that night, He told them that that cup of wine was going to symbolize His blood. And a blood that would forgive any sin and cleanse any heart. So we remember and we relive this morning the sacrifice of our Lord as we come to the Lord's table. But it's also not just a time of remembrance, but it's a time of proclamation. The Bible says in verse number 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He come." That word for show means to proclaim. And every time you come to the Lord's table, then it is a sermon in itself. Because in the cup representing His blood and in the bread representing His body, it is symbolic of our Lord's death for us. And it's a sermon in itself. You see, in the elements, just like in baptism, in just a few moments we're going to enter the waters of baptism. And it's a symbol of Christ's death going into the tomb and coming out of the tomb, being resurrected for us. But not just a symbol of His resurrection, but for those of us that pass through those waters, it reminds us of our own resurrection. So it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of proclamation. We are showing the Lord's death, but it's also a time of expectation. You know, you may have came here this morning. You may be depressed. You may be discouraged. You may be frustrated. You may be aggravated. But I want you to know something, my friend. Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says we are to show the Lord's death. We are to proclaim His death. How long? Until He comes. Until He comes again. So we're not just looking back at His death. We're looking ahead at the fact that Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. And that gives us great, great hope. If your heart's right with God, you can be excited about Jesus coming again. But also in the text that we read, it also reminds us not what this table means, but also what we should do as we come to this table. I want you to notice verse 27. It says, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Can I just stop and just mention one thing about that? I remember having a conversation years ago with a Christian woman who said the reason she never took of the Lord's Supper because she was felt unworthy. That's not what that means. None of us are worthy. Worthy has nothing to do with it. We all deserve death and hell. That means, when it talks about unworthy, that means don't approach it haphazardly. Don't approach this table and think about the cup and the bread without thinking about what it means. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Paul goes on to say that when we do that, we're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This is a time of preparation for us to get our hearts right. Wouldn't it be awful if the Lord Jesus were to walk into this room this morning and no one noticed Him? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? There's a picture in my mind when Jesus was writing letters to those churches in Asia, and He talked about in Revelation 3, verse 20, He said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him." That's an invitation to the church. But what if Jesus came in here and no one noticed Him or no one paid attention to Him? That would be awful. I think it would be the same equivalent for us coming to this table without seeing the significance of it, without seeing the importance of it and the impact that it can have in our lives. It is very, very important. If we never give a thought to the One who has called us to worship, then we are not discerning the Lord's body. So you see, this is not just an event. Worship is not just an event, but it's something that we all ought to participate in with our heart and our mind and our soul. I am convinced if we choose to not recognize Jesus for who He is, and He reminded the church at Corinth, there could come a time of judgment. He can get your attention. I think that's what He's talking about when He said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Many had died. Many were sick. Now, not all sickness and death is because of sin. At the root cause it is, but certainly there was a judgment because of their lack of discernment of who Jesus was. I remember when our boys were little and we would be talking, or I'd be talking to someone else and they wanted to get my attention, oftentimes they would take and turn my face to them. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God can turn our face to Him if necessary. He can get our attention if necessary. So what we need to do is we need to judge our own sin so that we'll not be judged with the world. And every time we come to the Lord's table, we always have a time of examination. So you and I can look within our heart. The Bible says, "So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." We search our hearts, we confess our sin, we ask God to cleanse our hearts, and then we come to the Lord's table and we participate and discern the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. So at this time, I'm going to ask you right where you're at to bow your head in reverence to the Lord. And just play whatever you like to play, something very softly. And just before we uncover this table, we're going to have a time of prayer and a time of examination. And you just talk to God about maybe what He is speaking to you in your heart about as a believer. Maybe something you need to deal with in your heart. Maybe a wrong you need to make right. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You this morning to cleanse our hearts. Forgive us of our sin. Purify us and make us clean. Help us, O God, as we come to this table this morning, to approach it with the right heart and the right mind. We thank You that we are forgiven. We thank You for what this means. And we just pray that we would continue to sense Your presence even as we begin to uncover this table. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, before we uncover this table. This is what I always make you mindful of. If you're visiting this morning and you are a Christian, you're a child of God, we invite you to participate with us as a child of God as we observe the Lord's Supper today. If you are, that's all that we have to, what I believe the Bible requires. You need to be a Christian, have a relationship with Christ. And we invite you to participate with us in the Lord's Supper and pray that God will certainly speak to your heart as we continue through this service. All right. Start with the bread. Come ahead. We know that Paul reminds us that our Lord, on the night that He was betrayed, took this Passover meal and transformed it into this that we're doing today as we remember our Lord's death. His body, as we think about this little portion of bread, was broken in submission for us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for what this represents. We thank You for Your body that You gave in submission for us. God, we come today thanking You, not just for this bread, for what it symbolizes. Oh God, help us to have Your mind within us, and that we'll submit ourselves to each other as You are submissive to Your Father. And we pray that we would respond in the right way and represent You well. Bless this, oh God. We thank You for what it means, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, for example, you don't know Christ as your Savior. And maybe God's Spirit has opened your eyes to the very clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that through His body that was given for you and His blood that was shed for you, you can be forgiven and your life can be changed. And maybe this morning you'd like to receive Him as your Savior. Then all, I would encourage you this morning not to put it off another day, but come to Christ today. And I'd love to help you find Christ and point you to Him if you'd respond during this song. Or maybe you have another spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe God's been dealing with your heart about something. You need to maybe make a public profession of your faith. You need to come forward for baptism. I would say the same thing that the eunuch said to Philip. He said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You remember what Philip said? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you can be saved. And that seems to be the qualification according to the Word of God. So you know for sure that you're saved. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So, this is going to be a hymn of not just celebration, but a hymn maybe of decision for you. So let's stand. We're going to sing 133. And you respond this morning as the Lord leads you to respond. 133.
Savior. He knows he's certain of that. But this morning he comes and is a candidate for baptism.